gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All the boys are in the fort, 6 minutes after the hour. I thought Jackie Schechter and I were going to have to pull the rope up and just have a for girls only day. But
so
no.
I told Jenk.
No, he's here.
Oh. Steffi.
Oh, what's that? Heavy breathing I hear. Why? Could it be? Could it be a sexy liberal male stripper?
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
He's stripped down to his bones, apparently.
Hi, Hal Sparks. He's back from the road with his band.
Back from the road.
Oh, yeah.
Could he be any hotter?
Oh, it's, there's lots of, if you go to the 01 page on Facebook, there's lots of semi-naked pictures of me. A lot of these these clubs we were playing were extraordinarily hot. And I
just had a visual of those old movies with all the reporters running into the phone booths. Just people just went to the 01.
Right.
They just crushed the 01 website.
Attention, all ships at sea. Nude pictures of Hal Sparks available on Facebook. What a surprise.
All right. And sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Look at what I'm sporting. The new I'm a Sexy Liberal cap. Along
Whoa.
With the I'm Too Sexy to Vote Republican caps. Flying out the door.
Sweet.
Somebody sent, I'll send that to you, Chris. We need to post that. Somebody sent a picture of their like 90-year-old mother wearing an I'm a Sexy Liberal hat. Awesome. So, and check out the website for all the upcoming dates. Hal Sparks, how's the band? How's the road? What's
was,
happening?
It was amazing and crazy and everything that you hear about. It was almost as if every... You ever seen an interview of your favorite artist and they go, yeah, I remember in the beginning one time we were doing this gig and the entire sound system caught fire.
Oh, God.
Any random number of things. The police raided the place and it was the wrong building or whatever.
Yeah.
Almost every show had something like that, and it was a blast.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was going to sing with one of the opening bands in Chicago, and I'm walking up to check and see if they're ready for me to sing with them, and I look outside, and somebody's towing my car. Like towing the rental car that I had so we could get around Chicago.
This is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, and I was like, do I go this way and go on stage and sing, or do I go that way and lay down in front of a tow truck like Arthur Dent going, I think I'm authorized because I'm performing
oh,
here.
Oh, God.
It was bananas.
But you seamlessly slipped back into politics. You were recounting almost word for word a conversation on the Young Turks about health care that you...
Right.
When
I did that show with John, he fills in on occasionally and he's terrific. It was the same production team that does the Young Turks or whatever, and they were making that, you know...
The internet show. Yeah, it's fabulous.
It is. And they were making this argument that you always hear about the public option that Obama gave it away and caved and that was that. And they just kind of walk away and I'm like, oh,
excuse me. You've invited
minute.
A happy clappy liberal.
Yeah.
Hang on. Obama apologist in the house.
Yeah. And the big argument point that they were making was if you're trying to sell a house and you want to sell it for $300,000, you don't start at $300,000. You start at $500,000 and you work your way down. His idea that he sold away. And I went, you do realize in this case that's a terrible analogy because he wasn't negotiating with someone who wanted to buy the house. He was negotiating with arsonists
to keep him from burning the house down.
Right.
Thank you, Hal Sparks. Thank you.
And they
see when he talks before we're on, I'm like, don't say anything else. Yeah. Save that for on air.
Don't speak.
I was at a thing the other night, and Rob Reiner gave the most brilliant, impassioned speech about why we need to get rid of the filibuster, but he made the same point. We never had 60. You're never going to get anything done. It doesn't matter who's in. And we're having Senator Jeff Merkley on Thursday.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, excuse me. Tomorrow. Who is working on... And Harry Reid has admitted several times that he was right about that this system is broken. We've got to do something about the filibuster. And we're going to talk about that because I think Harry Reid is coming around on that. Just saying.
The boy who's 73. Let's hear it for the boy who's got 17 grandchildren or whatever.
It's okay. Jim Ward, who said the idea that you've got private equity companies that come in and take companies apart so they can make profits and have people lose their jobs, that's not what the Republican Party's about. Who said that?
I know this one.
James Doohan.
I know this one.
James Doohan was just shot into space.
Yes. I know this.
Hal Sparks?
Rick Perry.
Yes, Governor Rick Perry.
Rick Perry said that.
Oh, they might not like the Citizens United and these super PACs now because they're running ads with what all the Republicans said about being capital.
Rick Perry just shot himself into space.
Jim.
Oops.
There's a theme.
Oh.
Jim, who said the Bain model is to go in at a very low price, borrow an immense amount of money, pay Bain an immense amount of money, and leave? I'll let you decide if that's really good capitalism. I think that's exploitation. Who said that?
Gordon Cooper.
No, oops, sorry.
Who was also shot into space.
I lost my machine.
Yeah.
Was he?
For the second time.
No, it was, that
previously
was
he went up as
Newt Gingrich.
Human, yes.
Newt Gingrich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember him. He used to, he was running for president at one point, wasn't
yes,
he?
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Madly,
for a long time.
That's right.
For the threefer, who said, instead of trying to work with them to find a way to keep the jobs and to get them back on their feet, it's all about how much money we can make, how quick we can make it, and then get out of town, find the next carcass to feed upon. Who said that?
Bob Schrake.
No.
Was he also
Marks?
In the...
Also one of the ashes.
House Marks?
Yeah.
Oh, was he also in the coffin? Is that was Bob Schrake also in
he
the...
was one of the, yeah, people. In
They're discussing
people,
Jim's theme,
people,
not your theme.
Yeah, it's just, so,
settle on my theme.
I'm going to go with Marcus Bachman.
No. Governor Rick Perry.
Oh,
who,
yeah.
Him. Who wouldn't go with Marcus Bachman?
Right. Oops.
Oops.
All right, Jim,
oops.
You don't deserve a bonus round, but I'm going to give you one anyway. Who said... This is not an attack on free enterprise. There's something about raping companies and leaving them in debt and setting up Swiss bank accounts and corporate businesses in the Grand Caymans. I have a serious problem with that. What are we supposed to be comparing President Obama to if we don't compare it to the record that this man has with Bain Capital? Who said that?
Marcus Bachman.
No. That was a bad guess.
He was shot into Switzerland.
Representative Jim Clyburn. See, I threw you a curveball
there. We haven't seen that.
I threw you a curveball
there. Oh, do you now?
Oh, Jim, guess who said this?
What?
There's something about raping companies and leaving them in debt and setting up Swiss bank accounts in corporate and businesses in the Grand Caymans. I have a real serious problem with that.
Oh, you already heard. I just
told Clyde Jim Byrne.
Yeah, Jim. No.
Yeah. Clyde Jim Byrne.
Clydesdale.
Jim Byrne, who was shot into space.
Horse.
No, he was not.
Clydesdale dressage horse. No.
No. No.
It, no.
That would be one heck of a dressage horse.
How about that Cory Booker? I mean, really, Hal Sparks. I just wanted to throttle him.
$545,000 from...
Yeah.
Well, it's either that or Stockholm Syndrome from doing that video with Chris Christie.
Chris Christie.
Right. Yeah. And now Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick has gotten on board the support Bain train.
Yeah, and so is Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah.
Oh, please. I was going to say that that hostage video with Chris Christie and Cory Booker did look like a scene from The Sopranos, you know, where Big Pussy comes to talk to you, and,
right.
And afterwards you're like,
whatever.
I don't know anything about...
yes.
It's a character's name.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that makes it okay.
Yeah.
Well, if someone would not shine a spotlight at it, it might have slipped by unnoticed.
It's hard to slip by it.
People have DVRs.
I leave for a month, and you guys haven't worked this part of it out.
They're going to put that on a loop for their ringtone, a bunch of people. big. All right.
Oh,
hey, wow. Speaking of which, how about that segue? Did you hear about the preacher?
Oh, yes.
Well, there's good news on marriage equality polling and all of that. But then there's this guy, another homophobic North Carolina preacher. Check
Pastor Worley.
Pastor Worley.
Oh, he's fun.
Oh.
We hope no relation
not
to Joanne.
Worley.
Because that would...
Nope. No.
No relation whatsoever. No,
I can't hit that.
No.
I figured a way out, a way to get rid of all lesbians and queers. But I couldn't get it past the Congress. Build a great, big, large fence, 150 or 100 mile long. Put all the lesbians in there. Fly over and drop some food. Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals.
Both of them.
All of them. Separate
and
pens.
Have that fence electrified till they can't get out.
They can't,
feed them. And,
can't get out.
And you know what? In a few years, they'll die out. Do you know why they can't reproduce?
Your thoughts, Hal Sparks?
Sure. What do you feed lesbians?
What do they eat?
Lots of sushi.
Drop the box wine.
And apparently lots of leftovers from the previous evening.
Yes. Right.
Leftovers from wherever you eat. And people wonder why when we do generic stupid person, we chuck a southern accent on
sometimes. Seriously,
it's
right?
Because they allow people like Worley to be their representative.
Big old fence.
And he is a leader in that community.
That's like a character on Hee Haw. Now here comes Pastor Worley.
Big old electrified fence, throw all queers in there.
Yeah.
No one said that.
Mike and Raleigh, Mike and Moving Boxes, he thinks this sounds really fun. He's a lot of guys down with this, totally.
I had a way, I figured a way out, a way to get rid of all the lesbians and queers. Build a great, big, large fence.
From in my heart I am glorious.
Put all the lesbians in there.
There is a lot of work to be done.
Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals.
Presenting multiplication.
You know why they can't reproduce?
We'll still have to feed everyone.
Fly over and drop some food.
We got a lot. All you electric lesbians do. Make the fences higher.
50 or 100 mile long.
We're gonna trap all of you with electric fences too. It's all here in our flyer.
Great big large fence.
Home, home, home.
And have that fence electrified till they can't get out.
Home, 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 home.
Oi!
Oi!
Yeah.
Mike in moving boxes took all his audio equipment out of his moving boxes to do that.
We're going to rock down to your neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Mike, you knew you couldn't quit me. He thought he was going to quit me till he moved to Vail, but no.
No,
Tim says no.
Keep working on the road, Mike.
Yeah.
This is my boy. All right.
It's increased. Here's the interesting part, and the good thing about the whole Worley upside, the silver lining, as it were, is that it's all the preachers like Worley who are really on the downward cusp of age, who are saying ridiculous, garbly
nonsense.
Yeah,
even the audience, because sometimes the audience will say an amen, and you could tell that was even a little like.
What? I brought my gay friend to church this week just to show him that we're not all bad.
Nervous laughter.
Nice timing, psycho.
It was like a Romney crowd.
But just by virtue of him being a pastor in that community, he is a community leader, and that is completely irresponsible.
Oof-ta. All right.
Well, he also, believe me, the reason he's saying gays and homosexuals and lesbians
and also queers.
And queers and lesbians and gays and homosexuals is because he can get away with saying that. Because if he really said what he wanted to, which is Jews, he would have a problem. Once you start about electrifying a fence around people,
exactly.
Kind of conjures an image.
That sounded a little, reminiscent. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Song about the Kardashians.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Dana in Maryland wants to welcome Hal home. Daddy's home. Dana. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm totally shaking right now. I'm so nervous.
Oh my god.
Don't
worry,
I'll
be gentle.
Welcome back. And we love you in this house since Talk Soup and Queer as Folk. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Miss the show. And now my son's watching Lab Rats.
Isn't that great?
So you're like generation.
Oh my god. You have crossed the house park stream.
Stop it. All over this house. And I just think you're fabulous and I so miss that show, but I have my DVDs and I thought we'd send them to the Reverend.
Yeah.
Maybe he would just pass out from, send Emmett over there.
Right. Well, if there's any indication, if past is prologue, he's probably got a set, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
Exactly. So we just think you're great, and
Thank you.
I love the show. Watch it every morning.
Dana, I have watched women shake and vibrate in person in front of Hal Sparks, so I can picture you right now.
No, he's totally precious.
Oh
he's
my
just
God.
Tasty and delicious.
Tasty.
All right, Dana. Dana, have someone.
Come to Washington. Come to Baltimore.
All right.
Okay.
Just have someone hose you down now.
I play the Arlington Cinema Draft House in Washington quite often. So go to my website and sign up and all that stuff, and you'll get a little alert when I'm coming.
All over the top. Daddy
it's
can't be gone
normal,
for so
actually.
Long.
You know what it is?
People
the,
are just crazy.
It's all the rock shots that are on my Facebook page now.
And your Instagram.
Yeah, she probably was on the website.
Yes.
Follow me on Instagram. That's an insight, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Did you see that one? The second one with my shirt? Yeah.
Patrice in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patrice.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm a little teed off by the so-called surrogates of Obama's defending Bain Capital. You know, one of the things that me and my niece talked about yesterday was these clowns make the case for why corporations and money and politics is bad for democracy. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're defending a company that literally is trying to wipe out the middle class, they're giving talking points to these Republicans, and I mean it's just it's mind-boggling to me. And it's like, are you trying to sabotage this man's reelection bid? I don't think it's going to work. I still think that he's going to. Overall, he's going to win, and I think he's going to win by a pretty huge margin. Once the debate starts and everything gets out in the open,
right?
Well, the problem.
I think we need to trade Cory Booker for John Sununu and just call it a day.
Yeah.
Make a clean trade.
I think she's kind of on.
And we'll throw in the Cubs.
We will not.
I can do that.
No, sure. You cannot. As a duly designated representative of the city of Chicago.
That guy that owns the Cubs is the right-wing tool.
Right, but his daughter, who's openly gay, is one of Obama's big bundlers.
Really? Single?
Yes.
Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
She's a millionaire.
I'm just kidding.
You know what? These surrogates are only concerned about themselves and their own campaign finances.
And they think they have wiggle room. I think this is part of the reason is because they know he's got a good margin and all these categories, so they can come out and protect their nest egg, essentially, and go against him on occasion and heavily because they know it'll just kind of be brushed off. But we can't afford to ever let this get even remotely close because that was the mistake Kerry made.
Yep.
That was the mistake Gore made. And they're going to do all this voter shenanigans. You can't let it tighten.
John Sununu said Romney's entire business record of Bain Capital should be fair game. But then I love this. But then accused President Obama of cherry-picking the company's failed investments. Only talk about the successes. That's how you're only allowed to talk about Bain Capital if you talk about the things.
But then you can't talk about Romney's record if you only talk about the successes.
Yeah, exactly. Cory Booker yesterday.
Well, here they are plucking sound bites out of that interview to manipulate them in a cynical manner, to use them for their own purposes. And that slogan is really what had me and basically my entire staff really fit to be tied.
He got himself into this one. Stan with Cory Booker when you go to the GOP page,
website.
It says Stan with Cory. Which is irritating, but that's what Republicans do. That's why you can't go on Meet the Press and say stuff like that.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because that place is kind of a den anyways. You know, you get surrounded in that place. Because what is that statistic just came out that like 70% of the people are old white males on the morning Sunday.
Republican old white males.
Yeah, right. And mostly Republican. And there's like one kind of minority person sprinkled
in. The president
in.
Got bin Laden. Let's ask a bunch of old white Republican people from the Bush administration about how much credit George Bush deserved for this.
Yeah, you know what? I do agree with that.
I don't care.
But run the cameras during the break.
Yeah.
Because then you'd hear them going, damn it. Right.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, doesn't matter if she gets it, as long as she's pretty.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, now, Chris, I'm going to have to get extra security, because Hal Sparks is showing up at my party this week.
Oh, boy.
There's going to be kids there, so there's going to be, like, screaming lab rat fan children. I'm going to have to get extra hoses because the chicks are going to be there from, 01
fans. I'm going to electrified fence around Stephanie Miller's house.
I'm going to have to wear one.
I said
one.
It's a karaoke dance party now. I said every party I go to is that when I get there.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as I show up, it's a karaoke dance party.
Well, you'll have to fight the karaoke king, Jim Ward, over there, because that man is...
That's true. He brings a harmonica, though. He has a secret weapon.
No, he brought an amp last time.
He brought an amp and a harmonica, and he did it. And he does this amazing Mick Jagger impression. Everybody's back there like, show
Fred
off.
Fred Armisen stole my act.
Everyone's going to show off. No one's going to want to go now.
Everybody steals your act, Jim.
You can't follow Jim.
Fred Armisen, what are you doing here?
All right, let's go to...
taking notes.
Carol in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi. So many topics, so little time.
Right?
I think it's time to give all these people, including the House of Representatives, a taste of their own medicine. If they vote against health care or a really important bill that we all need, they should have it taken away from them. This reverend down south, he should be put in a concentration camp.
Simmer down.
Ooh, one ounce
Simmer down.
Settle.
Simmer down. He should. You know what he should do?
Settle.
He should be allowed to age, watching the rest of society move ahead
yes.
without
How
him.
We have to do.
That's why he's a. That's why he's going
right.
nuts.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of these guys.
We
are
have
going
to do our idea, our video series. It only gets worse for
yeah,
old homophobes.
For old homophobes.
I can't understand the world anymore.
I don't understand. I used to put people in a headlock at school, and now those people run businesses.
I went to high school with David Geffen, and now he's a billionaire. Oh. My crystal meth lab blew up in my pants this weekend.
Oh, lesbians and queers get all the money.
You're fired.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Sorry. I meant you're not fired. Sorry.
They fired me for being straight.
Oh, you know what? You're rehired.
And not showing up for work and being drunk.
Jim, you're rehired because they're going to need a wrangler for the lesbian pen, the electric lesbian pen. Rose is a bisexual and wants to know where to go. I think Jim should be in charge of that, Rose.
Is there electric fence limbo?
Hi, Rose.
Hello. Good morning, you wonderful
people.
Good morning.
I was just wondering where I would fit in this electrical fence. Literally, I guess I'd be straddling it. A little dangerous since it's electrical.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Yes. Although it could be fun.
You're
going
to have to.
How electrified it is.
You're going to have to talk to Uncle Jim Ward, and he'll sort you out. Decide which pen you go
sure
into.
Sure that the electricity is turned up to 11.
Oh boy.
Rose, you know there's going to be a lesbian electrician that'll know how to make the fence vibrate instead of the electric. You know
right.
what I'm saying? There you go.
Well, that's how they make money. They can take care of the deficit to start selling tickets then.
There you
there
go.
You go.
Yeah.
There you go. Either way, you're covered, Rose. Thanks.
Yeah,
for
electric fence rides, 5 cents.
You must be this tall.
Like a supermarket pony.
Yes. And then we just make it pay-per-view, and poof, there goes the deficit.
I figured a way to electrify my mustache.
They got
this
nothing to
work.
Oh,
God.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. The number, the deficit, like the numbers at McDonald's, just going down.
It's going backwards. It halts and reverses and starts rolling.
Oh, my.
Look at them. They like it. My plan has... Oh, my plan is...
Yes. I'm going to electrify my face.
And she gets religious there at the end for the pastor, so everybody's happy. Everybody's happy in the end.
Yes. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Oh, it's a happy ending for all of us.
Lord. But it's a solar-powered electric fence. That's what I want to know.
Hello. Charles, and then Al Gore's happy, too. Mm-hmm. Charles in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charles.
Yes, Stephanie, I want your audience to know that there's currently somebody good-looking on current TV.
You sly dog.
Oh, where?
You.
I think he's talking about Hal.
No, I'm sorry.
No, he's talking about that.
Sorry, am I in Hal's light? Sorry.
Yes, you are.
Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, regarding this guy, Worley, okay, what he said was outrageous. But he's not the only one. We've seen this from these pastors time and time again. But my question is this, the racial double standard when it comes to reporting. If this man had been black, it would be black homophobia, black
You're right.
Homophobia in the black church all over the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody white says something like this, you never hear the term white homophobia or white homophobia in a white church. And right. I'd like you guys to address that.
Well, sadly, it's sort of ubiquitous in churches of that age range. The reason it doesn't make news isn't because they're avoiding it, is because it's kind of understood, sadly.
Well, somebody was saying that the reason the numbers are moving so quickly and dramatically in gay rights is because, you know, they were saying black people didn't have the benefit in civil rights of people suddenly realizing that their son or their daughter or their neighbor or their doctor was black. They already knew, whereas, you know, that's what they're saying is the predicator in
Plus, they didn't watch Will and Grace.
Yes, that's exactly. There was no Will and Grace.
And Modern Family, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here is the breaking
other
news.
Show.
Nate Silver says there's been a dramatic 0-point shift in the polls since Obama came out for gay marriage.
Yeah.
So there's progress right there. All the polls, the Real Clear Politics head-to-head average. Let's see. Obama had a 0.2% lead after he came out for marriage equality. He has a 1.7% lead. So since coming out for gay marriage, his numbers have slightly improved. The one thing... How I found troubling is that one poll, who's a huge percentage of people, think the president did it for political reasons and not because it was the right thing to do. But I'm going right there. That's progress because you
go. It totally is.
People think, oh, it's going to help you politically just in the last election.
Right. In one cycle, we've gone from it's a whole negative in politics to it's a whole positive. The Republicans are actually saying that he's doing it just as, you know, as calculated political maneuvering.
Right.
And the fact that they would even be allowed to say that out loud is within their party is amazing. And it points to
it
the fact that
it says a lot about how far we've come,
and
right?
And they're aware of it.
Yep.
They're now aware of it, how behind, you know, the times they are.
Yeah, and there's a whole generation that just doesn't care.
That's what I love.
And that's what makes them just
I love when we don't have to talk about it anymore.
I talked to another radio personality who will remain nameless.
Slut.
Yeah. While being interviewed, you know, doing press for the tour, for the band tour, and I went on with and he's a huge right winger, you know, annoyingly so. Doesn't believe a word he's saying most of the time, but says it because Roger Ailes does. He's like parroting Fox who can get a job, all that kind of stuff. But he made the case that he doesn't care about gay marriage. He was very overtly saying he doesn't care, which means he does care, but he can't defend it.
I wonder if it's the right wing host I'm thinking of that said the same thing to me privately.
Probably.
We'll talk off air.
Yes, I wouldn't rule it out. But the point being,
a very famous one. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yes.
The point being is that they get boxed in so hard on that conversation because the only backpedal, the only fallback position you have is Jesus. The only part you have is Catholicism, because that's really the last bastion these days.
But Jesus didn't say one single word about homosexuality.
You never can get an answer on is, okay, if it's in the Bible, then we have to start killing shrimp eaters. We have to start, stoning children that
killing women
swear
who talk
us.
In public.
Right. You can sell your daughters into slavery. Yeah,
if you're wearing poly-blend slacks.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing about them. This National Organization of Marriage memo trying to drive a wedge between gays and blacks. It's like, okay, if you're going to tell black people they have to do everything in the Bible, then guess what? You have to be slaves again. Yeah.
Right.
That's in the Bible.
Right.
How do you get around that?
Well, you don't. That's the thing. That's why a lot of self-professed libertarians or quote-unquote independents, you know, the crowd of independents who used to be Republicans but run from their two cycles of Bush votes, you know, who now, I was an independent. I don't really believe in either party.
I don't, yeah.
I voted for Bush twice, and I'm a
Republican.
Moron.
Yeah,
totally.
Amy in Iowa, you're on with Hal Sparks. Hi, Amy.
Good morning. This is the official musicologist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello now.
Two things for you. First is a piece of poetic justice. One of my best friends works as a teacher in the greater Cincinnati area, and unfortunately she lives in the Boners District, and they are at the capital of Tea Party Central, and they've been doing layoffs and layoffs and layoffs and layoffs and so on, and she's just heartbroken because all of her friends are losing their jobs. Well, guess who lost their job in the last round of layoffs?
Oh, dear.
Baby Boner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who's Baby Boner? His son? Wow.
Yeah. Daughter.
Oh, his daughter. Is she orange, too?
Who teaches sex ed?
Wow.
Okay.
Boner's daughter teaches sex ed?
Wow.
She just got laid off.
Wait, she just got laid off.
What? She got laid off
from her job. I'm so sorry. But I wanted to tell you that the big thing going around on Facebook for this whirly guy is a wickedly beautiful response to North Carolina's latest gay bashing minister on The God article. And we are all sending in donations to places like the Human Rights Campaign and the Trevor Project in his name.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. T and then a he.
And he gets the card.
Yo, that's
congratulations. Thank you.
I love sexy liberals.
Oh, I need a bigger, build a bigger fence.
Yikes. Okay, let's go. That's funny.
Put myself in there.
Audrey in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Stephanie. Hello. I am so disappointed in the Democrats, especially Dianne Feinstein, for throwing our president under the bus regarding Bain Capital. And I was wondering, are there numbers we can call and let them know how we feel? I am really furious.
Chris, we'll post that on Stephanie Miller Facebook.
Yeah, it's the Capitol switchboard, but we'll post that up on the Facebook page.
I'm wondering if these Democrats for Bain Capital or made money off of Bain Capital, and they're protecting their own investments.
Yeah, the president yesterday.
My opponent, Governor Romney, his main calling card for why he thinks he should be president is his business experience. Yeah, he's not going out there touting his experience in Massachusetts.
He's saying, I'm a business guy and I know how to fix it. And this is his business. And when you're president, as opposed to the head of a private equity firm, then your job is not simply to maximize profits. Your job is to figure out how everybody in the country has a fair shot.
Jim, who said, we find it pretty hard to justify rich people figuring out clever legal ways to loot a company, leaving 1,700 families without a job? Who said that?
Pastor Joanne Worley.
No, that's completely incorrect. Newt Gingrich.
Oh.
Said that. One more before we break. Who said, now, I have no doubt Mitt Romney was worried about pink slips, whether he was going to have enough of them to hand out because his company banged capital of all the jobs they killed. Who said that?
Harmon Cain.
No, that was a good guess, though, this time. No, Rick Perry said that during the Republican primary. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Indeed. It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
What?
I'm going to have to build a bigger fence.
You're a scamp. 50 minutes after the hour.
Oh, lesbians in there.
This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. We want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For our exclusive offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. That's GoToMyPC.com. Promo code is 70. Jolton Joe Biden yesterday.
When Romney says we're bashing private capital, that's not true.
Jim, I've got to guess the quote for you. Who said Barack Obama is not going to beat Hillary Clinton in a single Democratic primary? I'll predict that right now.
Herman Cain.
No. Bill Kristol, who's always wrong about everything and predicted that Joe Biden's going to be replaced with Hillary Clinton on the ticket. But I'm just saying, you know, if past predictions
How's that guy draw a paycheck? He's wrong every single time.
Yeah. Does he have an editor that says, you know, Bill, I'd avoid the word predict in your writings.
Yeah,
because there is a record.
Right.
Okay.
I looked at my goat entrails and decided.
Deborah in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi, good morning. It's actually Deborah, but that's okay.
Deborah.
I love you guys anyway.
Right. Please, call me Igor. All right, go ahead.
No, Deborah.
Yes.
Oh,
all right.
Anyway, hon, it's I just want to make one quick comment about David Gregory and Meet the Press.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's so now the Fox Sunday Morning Show.
Right.
I so miss Tim Russert.
Oh, me too.
The man had integrity and intellect, and I mean he had charm. And besides, he didn't look like a big old monkey.
Oh. Well, now people are just very, very frisky this morning.
That was mean.
Settle.
He doesn't look
mean,
like
y'all.
David Gregory doesn't look like a monkey. He looks like a guy who used to have a mustache and shaved it, and you're staring at where his mustache used to be.
Fill in the blank here.
You know what I mean? Because he looks like, it's kind of like the first time you saw Tom Selleck without his mustache.
You're like,
that's a little too much upper lip.
Yeah, what happened?
Now we see why the mustache was there so long.
Oh. He'd make a great like cast member on Deadwood.
Yeah, like Geraldo. He would make you miss the 70s gay porn mustache, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. David Gregory should. You know what? They should pass the mustache around.
Joan in Akron, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can have it weekends and holidays.
Well, y'all are one good hoot and a blessing in the morning. Enjoy the hell out you.
All right.
A hoot and a blessing. Why, thank you.
You know, let me tell you something. I want to rename the Republican Party. I want them to be the arson rug party because they lie like rugs.
She just high-fived herself,
yes.
I can tell.
Joan in Akron
Booyah!
Is awesome.
Yes, she is, officially.
She's dancing along the living room right now saying, Booyah!
Akron, huh? Well, it's your 2 weeks.
And she did the mic throw.
Yeah, she did the gangsta mic
the
drop.
Mic drop.
Bam! Bam!
Just walked off stage.
Yeah.
Regis in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Regis.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good.
This is Regis in Detroit.
Yes.
I just want to say a couple of things. One about Harold Ford and Cory Booker. Harold Ford has been hating on Obama ever since he was not the prime candidate for the Senate for New York and Carolina Kennedy was. Cory Booker was just, he entitled to his own opinion, but he was wrong in everything that he said.
Yep.
And at the same time, you guys are doing a phenomenal job. You have encouraged me, because I'm a PhD student, and I'm having my first morning glass of Pinot Grigio.
Oh, nice. Rock on.
Go, Regis.
Yeah. At the same time, I would like to see a little bit more diversity on your panel, and Regis will be a good candidate. So, hey, holler at your dude. So I'm that one.
All right. All right. That's him sitting over in the corner every morning drinking Pinot Grigio.
Right.
Tossing out bon mots.
Yeah, bon mots.
Jerome in New Jersey. Hey, Jerome, welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I'm so happy that you guys are on the air, because I didn't know who you were until Kermit TV. So.
Me neither.
She's finding herself in front of.
But the reason why I'm calling is about Cory Booker, because finally the residents of Newark are ecstatic that he's being exposed for not being a blue dog Democrat, but a corporate Democrat. Mm. There are grassroots organizations like Vocal and People Organization for Progress that have been fighting against his policies since his first term, but they don't get any airplay. So
yeah. The
mere fact that he's being exposed for all the good that he's supposedly doing for the people of Newark, it's only for the corporations that he's bringing to Newark that he's doing the good for.
When he was, what was it, who was the, it's escaping me, the financial guy, Jim Cramer.
Mm-hmm.
When he came down to the right of Jim Cramer, I literally was like, huh? What's happening?
Right.
Like, what did he just say? It's nauseating. I'm like, no, you didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah, and he did. Jim Ward, who says he claims he created 100,000 jobs. The Washington Post 2 days ago reported in their fact-check column that he gets 3 Pinocchios. Now, a Pinocchio is what you get from the Post if you're not telling the truth. Who said that?
Jamie Dimon.
No. I guess Newt Gingrich said that.
Perfect.
Let me see here. Give me a second. Okay. Who said there's something inherently wrong when getting rich off failure and sticking it to someone else is how you do your business? And I happen to think that is indefensible. Who said that?
Ning Gutrich.
No, that was a good guess.
Jesus
Rick Perry.
Christ.
That was Rick Perry. Oh, no. See, I'm just changing them up here on you.
That's a thin line. I was this close.
Let's go to Julie in Tacoma. You're on with Hal. Hi, Julie.
Hi, staff.
Hi.
May I be your official secular humanist of the Stephanie Miller Show?
You needed one.
Yes.
You sure did.
Last night I saw the Reverend Barry Lynn of the Separation of Church and State organization.
Yep.
And he has filed whatever papers it is with the IRS that says that this pastor and many others are violating the tax code.
Mm-hmm.
And because evidently in that 90-minute rant that he had, there was a lot of don't vote for Obama
type stuff.
So that's a little upside.
Yeah, Julie, we make this point all the time that these churches should not get taxpayer money to then tell their congregation how to vote.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of these things have, ceased to become, to be churches.
And they become a political organization.
Absolutely. They just use the tax cover that you get from being a church. But all they're talking about is gun rights and anti-gay and women staying home and anti-choice. And, it's really just a gathering of people who believe that stuff. Because they don't act on anything in the Bible that's even remotely close to the compassion that Jesus supposedly showed. And that's why I'm never surprised when they don't act, like Jesus.
Right.
They have nothing to do with the guy. It's a front.
Yeah. Carl in Nashville, real quick. Hey, Carl, go ahead.
Well, you know what? Cory Booker is one thing, but I'm glad that Harold Ford Jr. has been called out, because he's been doing this
for the past four years.
I cannot stand this bum. And I will go so far as to say that I am glad that Bob Corker, a Republican, won the Senate here. At least I know what I'm against. And unfortunately, I'm starting to smell the familiar stench of disappointed Hillary supporters in this whole little nipping at the heels of President Obama in a cute way, like Ed Rendell.
Sure.
He does it too. So
He was the one that predicted everything wrong during the primaries as well. So.
Right. Let's not forget a lot of those Hillary supporters were actually Republicans.
Yeah. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, all right. Oh, yes, it is, because Daddy's home. Humpty's with Hal Sparks. He's off the road.
Well, temporarily.
Yes. Oh, that's right. And then you go to Germany.
I go to Germany for the Rise and Shine Queer as Folk Convention in Cologne, Germany.
So you're not going with your band 01?
No, but the band is playing lots of dates on the West Coast in June. And
I was telling you, I'm going to Italy, and he said, have you been there? I'm like, yeah, a long time ago. And I said, before they built the Colosseum. They were just building it back then. Going for a bike trip.
There's all this crap everywhere. They're called ruins. Good name.
All right. Sexyliberal.com. Hey, look, everybody.
Somebody should fix those.
I'm wearing it. I'm a sexy liberal cap. Now available at sexyliberal.com. Who's this? Oh, Janine says, look proud of my 85-year-old
Jeannie.
Mother-in-law. Who's that?
Jeannie.
She sent a picture. We posted it of her 85-year-old mother-in-law. And I'm a sexy liberal cap. Pick it up. Dennis writes, I just brought the too sexy to vote Republican cap. Not a cap guy, but I hope to piss some people off.
Nice.
Good job. Rock on.
You will.
You can find out when Hal Sparks is back in town on the next show.
This is a special call out to all you L.A. progressives out there. A short distance dedication. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming back to Hollywood, California.
Holy Hollywood.
L.A., show me love up in the club.
On Saturday, July 28th, the world-famous Pantages Theater will host our generation's greatest comedy trio with John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and featuring radio and television star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are currently available online at Ticketmaster.com, at the Pantages Theater box office, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the evening's proceeds will be donated to the Trevor Project. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, July 28th at the Pantages Theater. The countdown to the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour's Los Angeles return starts now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Those tickets going fast already for July 28th. My goodness gracious. All right. Audra, by the way, I love when our listeners make jingles for other listeners, which is just awesome. Audra, she made the they made the really funny Minneapolis promo for the Me, John, and Aisha show. They made it in their basement.
Yep.
The basement promo girl, Audra.
Yes.
Steph and Chris, I heard Steph say she needs a jingle for John and Pam from Ohio, who are two of our new favorite callers.
They're awesome.
This is really cheesy, so I thought you guys might like it. I love John and Pam. Oh, Audra.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam show.
Well, there you go.
That's awesome. Thank you, Audra.
This took a decidedly NPR turn in the last 35 seconds.
Yes, I know what's happening.
Yeah, both with that one and the L.A. Who's the guy doing the voice on the L.A. one?
Hope you enjoy my sweaty balls.
Because was Wilford Brimley not available? Or
that was a Casey Kasem impression.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Casey Kasem.
Was it really?
Yeah.
All right.
Donita and her dog are watching in Florida. Hi, Donita.
Hi, Stephanie. Oh, my word. I just love y'all. Angel and I just love y'all so much.
What kind of dog is Angel?
We literally spend, y'all are a part-time job for us. We spend 15 hours a week. Angel, the Pomeranian, I'm a Pomeranian rescuer.
Oh, and, Angel.
What we do for a living is watch Stephanie Miller.
Yes, well, it's a calling.
That is pretty much it.
It's a growth industry.
That is our job. But we just love you so much, and we get up and, start doing the tea, and, ooh, we start dancing, ooh, and she knows, it's almost time. And then she switches up next to me, and she goes, ooh, it's almost time. Ooh. Look at sunshine.
Angel, ooh, it's time to walk in sunshine. Turn around.
She's way cooler. She's cooler than I am, but anyway.
All right. Thank
okay,
you.
the secret thing I want to talk about, I mean, it's just real quick. Yeah. Okay.
Although it's not quite a secret in that you're on national television, but go ahead.
And radio.
I'm not going to say anything naughty.
All right.
Everyone knows about Rock the Vote.
Yes.
Remember,
yes.
We rocked the vote.
Right.
Well, now everyone's trying to block the vote.
Yep.
It's really important. I just wanted to say, everyone get out there and get registered.
Yep, that's right.
As
that's
soon
right.
as possible, because it's going to be tons of shenanigans.
Get out
that's
there
right.
and start voting now.
That's right. I'm in, Donita. Who's in? Angel, are you in? Who's in? 2012. Twirl it out. Okay.
I don't know if you saw a while back when I posted the video of when I taught my friend Rachel's dog how to do peekaboo, and she's a Pomeranian named Barbara Walters.
That is cute.
And if you say peekaboo, she'll go,
You didn't even say anything that gay on Queer as Folk. Can I just
say
that?
Yeah. Wow. It's not gay to have the ability to control both people and animals.
Oh, hello now.
That's really what it's about.
I know what you're talking about. I thought that
right,
was just,
Jackie Schechner?
What are you doing to her? Stop it. Oh, you're doing that, the orgasm by remote control that Jim Carrey did in what was that movie?
Right. No, it's Chevy Chase in Modern Problems.
Oh, yeah.
Jackie seems really excited about the news today.
Yeah, right.
What's going on in there?
The best bad news I've ever felt.
Oh, we have a story.
Said, whatever.
Today in the
what
nation's capital?
I'll have what she's having.
The Washington Monument. Oh, wow. Okay.
We will see if Jackie Schechner joins us at the top of next.
Yeah, right.
Probably not. She probably
Sorry,
quit.
Jackie. We're just messing
Slam.
Around. That was me.
Sorry.
I blame myself.
Yes, I do too.
That's what you get for being wonderful.
Okay. Let's go to Vince in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Vince.
Hey, Steph. Speaking of Jackie, she reminds me of Julie Roberts, which is...
Are you calling her a hooker? What is going on? Yeah. I would like a little respect.
She's
for
a hooker
news,
with a heart of gold.
With my newswoman.
That's what I wanted to talk about. For all those who don't understand what Mitt Romney is, take a look at the great movie Pretty Woman.
Right. It,
What's the guy who played?
Richard Gere
played this corporate vulture capitalist trying to take over all these companies.
That's right.
And what the whole moral of the story was, he saw people as objects to be used.
Right.
Just like Julia Roberts.
And this dire country will be his whore if he wins, Vince. You're right. Look at us, whores.
And as he realized she was a person, he realized those people he was laying off and the companies he were destroying and the people they were employing were people. And he learned a moral lesson. And at the end of the movie, he decided not to destroy this, I think it was a shipyard building company.
Yep.
And instead, he went into business. Instead, he started building something instead of destroying it.
Yeah.
I think, quite frankly, that we can say unequivocally that Mitt Romney could learn a lot from prostitutes.
Exactly.
Because,
you mean that in a nice way.
Yeah. I don't think
Mitt only hookers with hearts of gold.
I don't think Mitt Romney's going to take America on a big shopping spree through Beverly Hills.
No.
Though.
Yeah.
No, with a snotty sales clerk.
No.
Played by Larry Miller.
What do you think the chances of Ann being in a store at one point going, big mistake. I was in here yesterday and you weren't nice to me. Big mistake.
Big mistake.
Pretty high. Pretty high.
More importantly, Hal Sparks, can you teach my dogs Max and Fran some new games? Because that's the only one I know is twirl around, because Fred gets really excited when it's time to hike, and I'm like, twirl around, twirl around, twirl around.
Well, no wonder tornadoes are ripping through the Southland. When your dogs turn, that affects the tides.
Hal Sparks had to actually take my dogs for a walk in Central Park, as he calls it.
A drag.
The Iditarod.
Yeah, the Iditarod. Yeah.
It was winter.
This just in, Santa Monica's wiped out by a massive tsunami.
Thank you, Stephanie's dogs. You don't make your dogs, like... dance for their treats, do you?
No, like arthritic poodles? No.
Because that would be a feat.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, let's go to John in New Haven. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I just had a quick question to see what you guys think. You know, we base everything on polling numbers, and I just think the problem, I don't know what the alternative is, but the problem is it's such a small segment of the population that's participating in the polling.
Yeah. Well, you
that's
know,
always
John,
true.
John, one of the things that made me feel better, I don't know if you saw this, Hal, about North Carolina, is they broke down how low the turnout was. I mean, it's literally, it's only 20% that voted for this gay bashing thing. 20% of people in the entire state.
And whatever, 47% of 20% or whatever it was.
Right.
Yeah.
This 52%, just in. Whatever. This just in. Wall Street Journal NBC News poll finds 54% support marriage equality, now 40% against it. Poll also assessed the fallout from President Obama's endorsement of marriage equality, found it was ultimately a wash.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Signifies progress since 2004 when, as we talked about, same-sex marriage was used as a wedge issue. I mean, just that, you know, historically, that's such a short time ago. It's the last election cycle
that
it was just used. So, as we were saying earlier, it's bad news that so many people think the president did it politically, but on...
It's amazing that people think he could. Right.
Oh, now in this election cycle, this would be something that
this he
would think would help him for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That will help him win independents and cuspy Republicans.
Cuspy.
You know,
good word.
Cuspy Republicans.
Yeah,
love
cuspy
that.
Republicans. You know, it's kind of like being a Virgo, but you're on the cusp.
You're cuspy.
Right, yeah.
I'm cuspy.
I have traits of Libra.
Yeah.
You're dead, cuspy.
I've had people tell me they're not really Scorpios. Yeah, yeah. Cusby, Sagittarius, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. I see you, Scorpion.
Scorpion. Now you're G.I. Joe. All
yeah,
right.
What, huh?
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 Huh? Huh?
All right.
Some people think cucumbers taste better pickled. Huh? What?
What?
Huh? What? Now okay. We're back in agreement.
Willie in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Willie.
Hi. I have a couple points to make. One is that let's open our eyes and see Mitt Romney wants this as a trophy, a girlfriend on his arm, the presidency, I mean. This is just a trophy to him. This guy has money everywhere.
Yep.
But what's left for him to do except be president? Plus that guy, the RNC.
I mean, I have to tell you, Willie, yeah. One of the most terrifying things someone ever said to me is someone that knew George Bush really well, and people that knew him, and said he really wanted to be commissioner of baseball, but
right.
Since he couldn't do that,
yeah.
He decided.
Well, his
like,
dad couldn't hand
rich,
him commissioner
right,
of baseball.
It's the rich guy's like plaything. It's like, mm-hmm. All right, you know, cool plane, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Jim, who said if Governor Romney would like to give back all the money he's earned from bankrupting companies and laying off employees over his years, I'd be glad to then listen to him. Who said that?
J.P. Morgan.
No, that was a bad guess. Newt Gingrich said that.
Mm. Huh. Newt again. Wow.
We're using them all in a new ad. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Up
and where?
Here.
Up and where exactly?
Here.
Over there? Where?
Yeah. In up here in Captain America's underpants, where we do the show. It is the...
Up in the crawl space above the...
See. Oh, by the way, this infernal TV thing.
Yeah?
Listen to me, TV Land. I already changed my passcode on my... I can't believe somebody texted you and said I saw what Stephanie's password is.
And then he texted me what the password was, and I'm like, okay.
Bastard person, you get these cameras out of here. Who agreed to this?
The other too bright in here anyway.
Hal, you haven't seen us here in Captain America's underpants. Have you seen how patriotic we've gotten?
I know,
since
it's
you
amazing.
Went away?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, and Jackie Schechner has tweeted that Hal is the perviest of them all.
That's right.
In our ongoing series, perving out on Jackie
And like
Schechner.
I said, I did not imply nor say anything particularly pervy. I allowed for the inference thereof.
Right.
So anybody who read pervy out of what
you
I said.
Inferring pervy.
Actually, it is more indicative of how pervy they are.
Sure. There you go. Speaking of pervs, Leif in Madison says, Steph, that preacher in North Carolina should be praised as a great potential job creator. I'm sure a lot of guys would jump at the chance to be night watchmen to monitor video surveillance cameras. I myself would be the first to apply as towel boy at the communal lesbian showers in the, you know, electric lesbian zoo.
I figured a way out.
Oi.
A way to get rid of all the lesbians and queers.
Oi.
Build a great big large fence.
Big large.
Put all the lesbians in that.
Lesbians.
Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals.
Okay.
You know why they can't reproduce? Fly over and drop some food.
We're gonna lock all you electric lesbian zoo and make the fences higher.
Think you're 100 mile long.
We're gonna lock
all you with electric fences too. It's all here in our flyer.
Great big large fence.
Oh.
And have that fence electrified till they can't get out.
Homo. In the fence, there are homos.
Wendy in Chicago. Hey, Wendy, welcome.
Good morning. I was just going about my work, having your show on in the background, but the talented, brilliant, effervescent Jim Ward kept bringing up the name Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan.
Yes.
Let me just share with you. My husband is an employee of that fine company with the CEO of Jamie Dimon. My husband works in the tech department. He does computer internal, hooks up the computer so employees can talk from one department to the other. Nothing to do with trading or financial decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But he got a medal.
I certainly hope they're using GoToMyPC or GoToMeeting when typing Stephanie in the box.
I will have to inquire about that. I will suggest that to Jamie Dimon.
Thank you.
What was the memo?
Yeah, well, the memo that my husband and all the other employees from Mr. Dimon received was this, paraphrase quickly. Basically, that at J.P. Morgan, we are all family.
Uh-huh.
And we are all in this together. And it is time for all of us to tighten our belts.
Oh!
Yes, and my reply to him was, really, Jamie Dimon? As he sits on his multi-millions overseeing these rather irresponsible $2 billion mistakes, my husband has not gotten a raise in 3 years from Mr. Dimon.
Yeah. You would think if you or I made a mistake of that magnitude that we might be fired. We might get one of the...
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Mitt Romney's famous pink slips. Yeah, exactly.
My husband used to make for other companies back when times were better, six figures. He cannot break from Mr. Dimon out of the five-figure spot.
Well, if Mr. Dimon says you're all in it together, then I'm sure he would like some of his cash to trickle
down
to your husband.
My last question to Mr. Dimon is, if we're all in this together, and my family, my husband right now is the sole breadwinner, so we're really dependent on decisions that Mr. Dimon makes, how is he going to help us along and tighten his belt? I want
to
know his plan.
Drop some G's on you and tighten his diamond-encrusted belt.
See, I'm going to go with he's not. I'm just going to go out on a limb. And the other thing is, it's amazing how they're all family.
The point is that diamonds are not a girl's best friend. Right.
Yeah,
see what I did.
And it sounds like Jamie Dimon's belt is around the necks of the underling workers.
Yeah.
Yes, he's around the neck of this particular family.
That's
which
right. People actually
in college.
Make
yeah.
it run.
Hey, all right, Wendy, thank you. Jim Ward, who said if you're a victim of Bain Capital's downsizing, it's the ultimate insult for Mitt Romney to come to South Carolina and tell you he feels your pain because he caused it?
Newt Gingrich, frankly.
No, that's a good guess, but no, that one was Rick Perry. See what I did there?
Oh, okay.
Mixed
it up.
Didn't see that coming.
Oops.
Okay, who said they're vultures? They're sitting out there on the tree limb waiting for the company to get sick, and they swoop in and they eat the carcass. They leave it with that, and they leave the skeleton.
Katy Perry.
No. Rick Perry.
Actually, she said that about the...
Who said...
About Russell Brand. Russell Brand.
Who said I kissed a girl?
No,
that was
me. Rick
that
Perry.
Was me.
And you too. All
both
of us.
Of us.
Well... I've said it as well.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yes. And you've kissed a boy.
Huh? That's true.
Yeah.
Several.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But for money.
Just for the cameras.
I beg your pardon. For art.
Yes.
It happened to actually have a paycheck associated with it. But that's not an... I don't just take cash off the street. No matter how much you have in your pocket, Jim Ward, I am not going to kiss you. I'll just settle this right now. I did it for the betterment of the community, the LGBT community, not for the pervy wishes of one random mook. It's not going to happen, Mr. Coffee Breath. Put your wallet away.
It's green tea.
Mr. Tea Breath.
You know, it is really hard to offend Hal Sparks. I've never seen such a look of
disdain.
Disdain on
someone
his
would suggest that I do queer spoke just for the money. Do you have any idea what kind of money Showtime had before Dexter?
You like this thing? How about this?
Now they've got money. They didn't have money. We were their first hit.
29
they were freaked out.
After the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Agenda for Saturday night. Free booze at
Stephanie Miller's
party, then robots versus wrestlers.
It's like they stole my plan for
this weekend.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, these would be, not, I guess, fun facts, but fat facts you were discussing during the break.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what the biggest difference between food in the 1950s and today is?
What, Chris?
Portion size.
Really?
Oh, go figure.
The average soda size in the 1950s was 7 ounces. The average soda size now... 42 ounces.
Oh,
and
my God.
Also, it has high fructose corn syrup, which is different.
Right.
You got to strap it to your roof like a Mitt Romney dog.
The average hamburger in the 50s was 3.9 ounces. The average hamburger now is 12
and
ounces.
And it's now full of hormones.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the average size of an order of fries was 2.4 ounces in the 50s. Now it's 6.7 ounces.
And they have so much salt on them, it actually burns your tongue.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. This is the reason for Rush Limbaugh to go off on Michelle Obama later, for some reason.
Yeah.
You can't force me to eat
broccoli.
Vegetables.
Okay.
I'm a power out of water. In my case, it would be cannibalism.
All right. Jolton Joe Biden yesterday.
Your job as president is to promote the common good. That doesn't mean the private equity guys are bad guys. They're not. But that no more qualifies you to be president than being a plumber. It doesn't.
Joe,
and by the way,
Joe.
There are a lot of awful smart plumbers.
Yeah.
Except for Joe the Plumber.
Joe came out against Joe Biden yesterday.
Oh, and that precious.
Well, because he knew he wasn't one of the ones he was including in that
post-sentence.
Jim, who said, I think there are things you can legitimately look at in Bain Capital? I think there are things you can legitimately look at in anyone's record, including Mitt Romney's record. Who said that?
Sam the non-plumber.
No. Newt Gingrich. He just said that last night, though. John Sununu, a Romney surrogate.
I think the Bain record as a whole is fair game. And what you have to do is do an honest evaluation.
Yes, wow, there we go. Sure. We would like to trade you for Cory Booker, and we'll throw in the Cubs. All of them. And
no,
the right
wing
owner. All right.
He lets his kids run it, and essentially, and is not the overseer of it, per se. And one of the big overseers is his openly gay daughter, who's a big Obama supporter.
Let me Google her.
Yeah. You guys might work out. I'm just saying. Should we take a love connection music instead of...
No. Who said that's fair, that's not negative campaigning, that's fair to get a candidate to be held accountable? Saying that Romney ought to release his tax records from when he was at Bain. Who said that?
Vladimir Lenin.
No, Sarah Palin.
Close. She can see Russia from her house.
Oh, on the Fox News there.
Oh, yeah?
Let's go to yes. They're using all of this in the this new... now they probably hate the super PACs. the super PAC supporting Obama's reelection unleashed a new ad that just plays all of the Republicans' comments from during the primary about Bain Capital. Newt Gingrich lumping Romney in with financiers who loot companies, leave behind broken families, broken towns, people on unemployment. Rick Perry hitting those who, quote, wait until they see a distressed company, then they swoop in and pick the carcass clean and then fly away. John Huntsman talking about Romney's quote that he likes to fire people. Rick Perry weighing in on vulture capitalists. Rick Santorum's chief strategist. And they're all there.
Oh, man, I can't wait for all these.
Along with a cameo from Sarah Palin.
I can't wait for all these ads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's going to be so great.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. Yeah, you're on camera saying it.
Yeah.
That was you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Newt Gingrich famously said, basically, well, we guess we shouldn't do it because it didn't work. Well, it didn't work in the Republican primary because Republicans think anything you say about any kind of capitalism is wrong. He said, one of the things we discovered, we can never make clear an attack on a particular case and Romney's ability to say, no, this is about free enterprise. The average American looked up and said, you know, it's about free enterprise. No, the people that vote in Republican primaries said that.
Right.
At the same time, Gingrich seemingly rebutted one of Romney's main counterarguments that Obama's criticisms of Bain are really attacks on capitalism as a whole. He said a discussion about a particular company or a particular decision is not an attack on the free enterprise system.
Right.
Thank you. Corey, are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
Corey, can you hear me?
Exactly. Joe Biden yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me make one clear thing absolutely clear to all of you. We will not go back to the 50s in social policy.
In portion size,
to the Cold War on our foreign policy, and to the policies of the last administration on our economic policy.
Yeah!
Well, yeah.
He's trying really hard not to quote Nixon there.
Mm-hmm. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. Talk it to me?
Joe Biden.
I'm not criticizing private equity firms. But I'm suggesting that people who run them, the same quality and objective of running a private equity firm is not what qualifies you to be president.
Thank you. Kathleen in Chicago to echo that. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. What President Obama is doing to Mitt Romney is making this a two-man race. Mitt Romney wants everything to be on the president, but Mitt Romney has a resume, too. He can't use Massachusetts because he comes from 37 to 47 and to making jobs.
Mm-hmm.
He
yep.
can't do the car company because he said let it go bankrupt. So all he's got now going as a businessman, he didn't do too good with that because he said let the car company go bad.
Right. Yep.
So if he was such a good businessman, why did he miss out on two opportunities? He couldn't take one state and get jobs. What is he going to do with 50 states?
Yep,
so what the president is doing is holding Mitt Romney to his resume. But I noticed Mitt Romney is running away from that. It's the Democrats that's messing over the president now. But those guys, they look like fools. See, all they want to do is sit on Joe Scarborough's show and say, yes, father, yes, father.
Good goal, Kathleen. Yeah. You fuck off with your fat self.
Yeah.
It ain't a man's world.
No.
Massachusetts was the wrong height.
Yeah,
I'm not going to mention.
Yeah, the problem is, as insofar as Republicans go, is that they have to defend any making of any money ever.
Yes, in any way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and they can make no distinction between vulture capitalism and actual investment.
Actually, all those Republicans in the primary made the point better than I've heard any Democratic spokespeople make it thus far, I think, except for the president. I mean, it's hilarious.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Gordon Gekko.
Yeah.
For Willard. Hi, Helen. In Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, Stephanie. Enjoy your show. Always listen to you on the radio, but TV's much better.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just calling because I'm so mad at these Wisconsin Democrats. They allowed the Republicans to put in all Republicans, and now they're crying for help from the Democrats. We warned them, if you don't get out and vote, this is going to happen. Same thing happened in Minnesota. We're lucky we've got a Democratic governor in Minnesota. But, you know, Democrats didn't want to get out and vote. They got lazy. They were mad at the president for, you know, having some blue dog Democrats in the Senate that would not help him out. So, you know, now they got to just, you know, get out there and walk around on the, you know, by themselves instead of trying to blame the Democratic Party for not helping them out financially.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That being said, I wish the Democratic Party would help them out in Wisconsin, Hal. I mean, it's
right. Yeah.
You know, this is part of the thing that you wonder if it's that cautious thing, like, oh, if he wins, though, then we're going to look bad. It's like, you know, all hands on deck, man.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to swing for the
sexy
fences.
Liberal tour is giving money to the recall campaign. Hello, DNC.
Yeah. Right.
Shirley in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Listen, what's really got me really nervous, if Romney were to win, can you imagine what he would do with that Supreme Court? I mean, we'd have a fork on there.
I know.
All the liberal, you can talk about a fenced, all the people being fenced in. They'd take all us liberals and fence them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there'll be defenses everywhere, for God's sakes. Exactly. Here's the good news in terms of Democrats and bulls. Another line in the sand has been drawn because we're facing the same thing, Hal. The same debt ceiling debacle. They're running, threatening to run the same play. But another line in the sand has been drawn as what they're calling Taxmageddon. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid responded to a letter from Senate Republicans in which they called for an immediate extension of the Bush tax cuts with a message of his own. That's impossible before the election. He said once Republicans are willing to abandon their commitment to more tax breaks for multimillionaires and special interests and their plans to end Medicare, I'm confident we can reach an agreement, Reid wrote. Unfortunately, it appears Republicans' blind adherence to Tea Party extremism is making it impossible to reach this sort of balanced agreement before the election. But, you know, I'm reading another story, and it seems like, what people are saying is the president's going to win this one if they try to run this play again right before the election. Because here we are again, where Boner's got this, Jim, a wheelbarrow for old frogs or something?
Whatever.
He's the frog whisperer, whatever. But
but the point is they're going to win points with their crowd just for trying and just for making noise about it, whether it's successful or not.
Right.
Because to them, the collapse of the government from the inside is actually the goal. So, and they're having some success.
Right.
I mean, that's what austerity is really about. Austerity is hyper-conservatives and right-wingers working their way into government positions to undercut the entire purpose of government.
They're learning
which is social support.
Lesson from Greece. That's the problem. But this,
No, they think it's the right one. They're for it. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Ever since Boehner signaled a return to debt limit brinkmanship this coming winter, White House officials have been adamant the administration is not going to have a sequel. They said, we're not going to recreate the debt ceiling debacle of last August, said Jay Carney. It's simply not acceptable to hold the American and global economy hostage to one party's political ideology. It's the responsibility of Congress to ensure the U.S. Pays its bill, it maintains its creditworthiness, yada, yada. So two senior administration officials said that the GOP demands are unsustainable, suggesting President Obama can stick to his guns as the debt limit approaches and Boehner and the Republicans will cave. A senior administration official questioned the logic underlying Boehner's threat. Going into an election, the officials noted, Republicans will have a hard time making the case to voters that part of their platform is another debt limit debacle. So that's kind of the common wisdom, is they're going to lose on the politics of this time.
Right.
They were saying the officials said the president would like to sign legislation, as he tried to last time, the grand bargain on the long-term deficits before or after the election. But if the Republicans can't walk away from their anti-tax absolutism, Congress still can't pass anything. The debt ceiling will still have to be lifted, and Boehner will have to find the votes to do that. The two issues this time will be delinked as the administration sees it. And they were saying that, what's his name? McLipless. Senator Mitch McLipless.
Kirtle.
Yes. Seemed to demonstrate a better...
Turtle tunnel.
He demonstrated a better grasp of the politics on Face the Nation this past Sunday. He said the timing will be determined by the president. They determine when to request of us that we raise the debt ceiling. We assume that will happen at the end of the year or early next year. And ask whether they think Boehner's simply posturing to appeal to, you know, the teabaggers.
Mm-hmm.
An administration official joke that's likely. There's likely to be less of them when the next Congress raises the debt ceiling. So let's hope so. Hal, you and I have been talking about this forever. Let's get the president... a Congress he can work with.
Right. Yep. Well, the illusion of 60 votes haunted from the very beginning, you know, this issue. And then the filibuster rule that needs to be changed is partly, you know, this kind of auto filibuster idea that they've been running, but also the fact that you can just put endless amendments on something and they don't have to be germane to the process.
Right.
So that's what a lot of these guys are doing.
Senator Jeff Merkley has a fix for that, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow. So,
yeah, great.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slag Whistle. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
All skate, everyone skates.
Yeah.
Couples only. That's what that song always makes me think about. She's kind of like, you know, and some jerk zipping by you on one leg or skating backwards really fast.
Yeah.
When I look like I'm doing hip exercises when I backwards skate, it's like this big infinity symbol. Ow!
Triple Lutz, you show off. All right, 51 minutes
ahead. Not everybody know. I got to have at least the illusion of humanity.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Did you see this story? Congress speaks at a 10th grade level, according to the new dopey teabaggers.
Duh.
Dragging everybody down. Exactly, as one of them said.
Duh. Well, it's because they're not speaking to each other to try to persuade each other. They're speaking to Joe Sixpack,
right,
who already agrees with them. So,
and one of their leaders,
socialist.
Mm-hmm. Is named Kathy Durr.
Kathy Durr.
Her name is actually Kathy Durr.
Don't be new. I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodlebacks.
She comes from a whole family of Durrs.
Durr.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess to some degree. By the way, I happen to know a lot of people with kids who are in the 10th grade. Pretty smart and direct, actually.
Yeah,
I think the truth is that if you look at the signs that the Tea Party is making, I think they're mad because they're operating at a third grade level,
right,
and most
of
this stuff is going over their heads.
Yeah, most of their arguments are, I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah,
112 Congress speaks collectively at the 10th grade level, down from that of a high school junior in 2005. Mm-hmm. Congress conservatives members speak on average at the lowest grade level.
Of course.
Bringing up the rear, Representative John Mulvaney, Republican of South Carolina. Congratulations, John.
Who speaks like a zygote.
And please, don't injure yourself eating pudding with a rubber spoon.
Eating pudding.
You really did just drool.
Yes. Committed. He's on camera now.
That was an uncanny impression of a teabagger.
Yeah. Character.
Drooling, dropping food out of his mouth. Would you like to say something on the filibuster bill?
Derp. Right.
Deirdre in Annapolis. Hello. Welcome.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I mean, worse than that minister, because he's out there, is the insidious American Catholic bishops who are filing suit against health care. Because, you know, American, the Republican Party thinks thinks Catholics are an American religion. Wait till the Muslims start filing suits to have their religion taken seriously. And another thing, Mitt Romney, when he had his health care, there were no exceptions in Massachusetts. No Catholic hospitals, no Catholic colleges. Yep. They were all had to go along with it.
Yep.
No, I'm very angry, and I actually am a Catholic.
Yep.
Right. Well,
yep,
you know,
you.
Once you start operating with other businesses, and let's be really clear, the Catholic Church these days especially is about 20% religion and 80% real estate holdings and business. Mm-hmm. Once you start operating in the secular world, you have to play by the same secular rules as everybody else, period. If you want to start running, if you want to fight for your religious freedom to hire only Catholics and do that, it's secondarily to the fact that if your argument morally isn't strong enough to keep your own employees who believe your faith from doing the behavior you want removed. Here's the thing. You know, God gave everybody free will and allowed them to make their choices. The Catholic Church is arguing that they shouldn't be held to the same standard as their own deity.
Mm-hmm.
People shouldn't have the opportunity or the choice to make a moral decision. Because here's the thing. If your insurance provides you with the ability to get birth control free, as a Catholic, you cannot partake in that service.
Yeah.
You can make your own single person relationship with Jesus Christ, relationship with God choice about that. But the church does not believe in choice, even though God does.
Breaking news on the Trayvon Martin case. Did you see this, Jim? Four witnesses have changed their stories in ways that may damage George Zimmerman.
Oh, really?
I don't. David in Indiana writes a good question. Steph, will someone please ask Geraldo if Trayvon was such a scary-looking thug, why would Zimmerman leave the safety of his car when he had not witnessed any crime nor seen Trayvon bother anybody?
Right. He went after him because he was small. It was an easy target. He wasn't intimidated by him at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to make of this. A witness saw two people on the ground. Said she saw two people on the ground immediately after the shooting. Wasn't sure who was on top. Another interview 6 days later, she was sure it was Zimmerman on top. She said, "I know after seeing on TV comparing their sizes that Zimmerman was definitely on top because of his size." A third witness six, told police the night of the shooting he saw a black man on top of the lighter skinned man. So let's see now. Okay. So now he's saying he said he was not sure who was calling for help. He's not sure any punches were thrown. A fourth witness also interviewed on the night of the shooting said he heard the shooting, ran outside, saw Zimmerman standing with blood on the back of his head. And he had told him Martin was beating up on me, so I had to shoot him. A month later, the same witness described Zimmerman's behavior. It was not like, I can't believe I just shot someone. It was more like, just tell my wife I shot somebody, like it was nothing. So, I mean, this is part of the problem, Jim, with these changing stuff. Again, you know what I mean? Like, they should have done better police work the night of the shooting.
Here's the thing, too, though. At that point, that part of their witnessing of it is now a non-issue because you approach somebody with a gun who has not been hostile towards you in any way. The standard ground law does not apply, and if it does apply to anybody, it applies to Trayvon Martin. Yep. Trayvon Martin, if he did fight back, was an empty-handed man against a guy with a gun trying to save his own life because this guy was hell-bent on shooting him
and a guy
for
who,
being in the wrong
place. A guy
place.
Who was saying on the phone to his girlfriend, "I'm scared," and who was running away.
Right. Exactly. And he wasn't even trying to run. He was trying to walk fast so that he wouldn't appear to be running, mm-hmm. so the guy wouldn't shoot him in the back.
Yep, exactly. Let's go to Maya real quick in Charlotte. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Maya.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I just want to let you know that there's a peaceful protest planned in front of our favorite church.
Pastor Worley's church?
Yes, exactly. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's this Sunday from 10 to 1. So I think a lot of numbers would be awesome.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. I hope some lesbians go in costume with a fence around them.
He also, did you guys see the quote he said about, we used to be able to hang gay people from trees?
Nice.
This is.
By the way, his Facebook page has been disabled and his website is down.
Really?
Yes.
Funny that. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Right Wing World and more. Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Why we? Because it's Hump Days with Hal. Daddy's home.
Yay!
Yay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Hal will
yes.
be going to Germany.
But yes.
So Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and I up next in Boston. And then Hal will be back.
Yep.
We've got L.A. in July. Columbus in, what is it, Columbus, Ohio in August. And then Seattle in September.
That's right.
Out.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly, right? HalSparks.com for all other HalSparksian related
Absolutely.
Information.
Including the Hump Chat, which is live and thriving.
There you go.
And at HalSparks. I just posted on Twitter, at HalSparks, Senator Feinstein's Twitter. If you want to send
nice.
Her a little message about whether or not you think she should be backing Bain Capital over the president.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. This sounds like a joke. A drunk man brought a zebra and a parrot into a bar.
What?
I don't know. I just, he's a future husband. I don't know. Police charged an Eastern Iowa man with drunk driving after stopping him outside a Dubuque bar where he was in a truck beside a small zebra and a parrot.
Oh.
He disputes the arrest, saying he was about to let a passenger begin driving. I'm not sure if that was the parrot or the zebra.
Well, I think it was either the rabbi or the minister.
Yeah.
He says the zebra and the parrot are pets and like riding in the truck, and he goes to that bar because he sometimes lets them come inside.
Sure.
Which leads to a lot of drunk people going,
well,
am I really drunk?
Did I say zebra?
Or are you sitting between a parrot and a zebra?
Mm.
Wow, I gotta start cutting down.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
It is free country.
Joe in Arizona with the latest... Arizona birtherism nonsense.
Oh,
hi, Joe. Hello, Joe. Did I do that right?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, there you are. Hey, Joe.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, hi,
go
Joe.
Ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, good morning.
Hello.
I'm so happy to get on your show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm from Buffalo also, Stephanie. I've been living in Arizona for 17 years.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So the latest story out of there, Joe Arpaio is using taxpayer money to investigate whether the president was born.
Right. To Hawaii to check to see if they will let him see the president's birth certificate.
And they did.
And another idiot wanted to keep the president off the ballot.
That was Ken Bennett, Secretary of State.
Right. Yes,
yep.
And Hawaii now has given him apparently the information that he needed.
And Ken Bennett is satisfied.
So,
Joe Arpaio is now officially wasting taxpayer money.
Yeah,
right.
How do y'all feel about that in Arizona, using your tax dollars?
I think it nauseates me.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm using Cory Booker's word, but it nauseates me.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah,
the secretary, he was going to keep Barack Obama off the ballot until he saw evidence from
Jag is
Hawaii.
Still satisfied.
Here's,
got no satisfaction.
Hawaii actually said... actually, you need to send us why you wouldn't think that the information we've already posted isn't enough.
Yeah.
And that just meant more paperwork for him, and he had to explain his stupid position. And why, by the way, anybody who moves from Hawaii to Arizona would have their driver's license nullified instantly because one standard cannot be applied to one person versus somebody else.
He said he's not a birther himself.
No.
He said, I believe the president was born in the United States, or at least I hope he was.
Yeah.
Well, that makes you a birther, moron. He said he was just doing his job of, going over the ballot and responding to constituents' concerns. Oh, please.
Ken Bennett has always been a nut job.
Let's listen to some more nut jobs now in right-wing world, shall we? Here we go. John Scott, he's a Fox News. He's just a regular news. It's just
straight down the news anchor.
Yeah. There are some observers who say that Cory Booker made the president essentially look bad, that he looks like a newer, hipper, younger, more honest version of the president.
And the president
looks like the old-style politician fighting to, keep the status quo.
By some, you mean Sean Hannity.
Mm. Yeah.
Hmm. Did he almost slip and say lighter? He's lighter.
Yeah. He's whiter.
He's
a whiter black guy.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't know why we didn't start liking him earlier.
Gretchen Carlson, Fox and Friends.
The word efficiency, when you said that, a light bulb went off in my head, Eric, that should be the word that Mitt Romney should also use to go up against big government. Do you want it to be run more efficient?
Right.
Does that country need that right now, or should we spend more money?
Well, first of all, the president's actually been operating on that standard. And if you watched Ed Schultz yesterday, they did a great show of how the president has streamlined a lot of government agencies, saved a lot of money, limited government without limited its ability, which is fantastic.
Actual facts and figures.
Yeah, you would think that the Fox News, being a news organization, would look into enterprise stories like that.
They also have access to facts.
Yes. Yeah. And secondly, when she said a light bulb went off in my head, I can't. I kept remembering when we're done at the end of a sexy liberal show and the staff comes out and just puts a single light bulb on the stage while we're doing meet and greet. Yeah. And it's just this big empty
very
space.
Dim bulb.
The bulb.
A very, very dim little
soft
bulb.
Soft glowing in the middle of it going, remember me?
Okay, Gretchen Carlson, Brian Kilmeade, and Eric Bolling on the Fox and Friends.
ABC polls. Who would be? Who would do a better job handling the economy?
This is unbelievable.
It's a dead heat. President Obama, 47%. Mitt Romney, 47%. Why is that unbelievable?
Someone wake up. Sue Varney just passed out. Someone get some. Can revive him. He's got to do the next segment.
All right.
It's incredible.
Why are you so surprised?
How could there be a dead heat? The economy, $16 trillion in debt?
No question. I agree with you, Brian. It's shocking. I mean, you know, who would do better in foreign policy? Who would do better? But really, the economy.
It's shocking because he inherited such a great economy and then ruined it. So how could he even be close?
Yeah, who would think that the guy who was president during the time the stock market went from 6,500 to 12,000, you know, would get any credit for actually for manufacturing coming back, for jobs actually turning around?
Did you hear what Bill Maher said? He said Mitt Romney's whole foreign policy experience consists of browbeating Frenchmen into joining his cult.
Yeah.
Which the White House had to disavow immediately.
Right.
Mitt Romney.
Okay.
Jim Appel.
Donald Trump on CNN.
He did so well, actually, that he set records over there. Mm. And that's what we need in this country.
Huge.
When you look at what China's doing to us, you look at what OPEC is doing to us, you look at what virtually every country is doing to us, we need somebody that has this ability. His record was great. Mm. He did
great.
An amazing job.
Amazing,
and, I mean, just take a look at Solyndra. Take a look at some of the deals this country has been making over the last couple of years. It's disgraceful.
Oh. Look at all the jobs he created in China.
That is incredible. Mm-hmm. He did well for Bain.
Right.
That's the point.
That's
he didn't do well for a lot of the companies they took over.
That's not true, Steph. Be completely honest. He did very well for local small businesses like banks in the Cayman Islands.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Those are small businesses.
Yeah.
And by parking a lot of his money that he made dissecting companies like they were patients waiting for a heart transplant.
Businesses are mailboxes. So that's the smallest business.
That's the smallest business you can have.
I was saying yesterday how that Solyndra thing makes me crazy when it brings. It's like, first of all, so what are you saying? There's some winners and losers in business, but don't look at any since that Bain took over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what's the record for the green initiatives that the White House has put together? 1 out of 25.
Which is a pretty damn good record.
And then you look what at Bain.
Bain's record.
Yeah, exactly. I think two of them managed to survive.
And the big successes the administration has, like the auto rescue, all he can do is go, yeah, that's my idea.
Yeah. Except for the fact that he left out the only creditor of note could be the federal government because there was no money to be had to do a managed bankruptcy, period.
Right.
So the idea that he was like, I was for bankruptcy at the time. Yeah, but you were for the kind of bankruptcy that makes them go away.
Right.
Yes.
Not managed till they get back on their feet.
Yes.
He means cave them in.
Yes.
Zero them out so they can't come back.
Yep. Zero out Detroit. Completely.
Right.
Yeah. Greg Gutfeld on the
Five. All I know is in the last couple of weeks, we know how President Obama personally feels about gay marriage. But do we really know how he personally feels about abortion? I mean, at this point, you kind of got to wonder how he feels. The women's right to choose, that's what they always say, pro-choicers say. But I want to know what he thinks about abortion. And I wonder if it's just because gays, you know, have deeper pockets than fetuses.
Greg, first of all,
well, he's pro-choice. He's always been pro-choice.
I've done Red Eye, and I'm here to tell you, not only is Greg not give a crap about gay marriage, he's another one of those right wingers who pretends to care on the air, but he also, I guarantee, is pro-choice or just doesn't care that way either.
What do you mean we don't know how the president feels about?
Rare, safe, and legal.
Right.
He's just trying to drum up his viewership there. That's all he's trying
to do. No, he isn't. He's reading the talking points he's been given by the uppers because they moved him from the midnight slot to being on during the day, and this is what he has to do.
That's
to keep
the role he's playing.
Right. That's where he's got to go because Greg is completely full of beans about this stuff.
We end with a noted feminist, Rush Limbaugh. How, on a scale of 1 to whatever,
1 to 500 pounds?
1 to 500 pounds. How creepy is this with a 14-year-old girl that called his show?
Hi, Rush. Yeah, my name is Katie, and I'm 14, and I'm not sure if I qualify to be a Rush baby or a Rush babe. What do you think?
You're 14?
I'm 14.
You're both. You are a Rush baby and a Rush babe both. We'll count you both.
Especially if you're in the Dominican Republic, where I can get away with
it. Thinking the nerve. Splat.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I speak for all of us when I say splat.
Ew.
Oh. I think that was a setup. I think she was trying to get it to say something like that,
too. I think she was actually
good
like...
Good job.
Yeah.
Good
job.
Well done.
Well done, you.
Do I qualify as a feminazi?
She was the older sister of the official three-year-old of the Stephanie Miller Show, Miranda.
Right.
Have you heard from Miranda?
I have not heard from
Miranda. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Wow. I'm walking on sunshine.
Aww.
Wow. I'm doing a feel good. Ow.
Say hi, Stephanie Miller.
Hi, Stephanie Miller.
Hi, Miranda.
Okay. Does that give you warm fuzzies?
It does.
I just ovulated, and these things are like
dusty.
It's the crypt keeper down here, right?
Yeah.
Except when Hal comes in, I get kind of sweaty. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just your menopause.
No, it's not.
I can trigger that, too. It's either Professor X or Magneto. I can go good or bad. Same.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't let me wait. The Catholic girl start much too late. All sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Darling, only the good die.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Representative Gwen Moore, who is awesome,
yep,
coming up at the bottom of the hour. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. We continue. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yeah, somebody from Arizona had called about, it's just so irritating, these fiscal conservatives. Sheriff Joe Arpaio admits using taxpayer funds to pursue birther conspiracy probe and says, so what?
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the state of Arizona had to mortgage its own Capitol building
in
order to raise funds. And it's wasting money on crap like this.
He said it's one deputy. So what? We have security issues, too, that I can't get into. Oh, I see. You have to secure your state against the non-American president or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He said when you're doing investigations, sometimes things change and you put more resources into it. Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Hal, that means he has some sort of new information is what the... Ha-ha.
Ha-ha-ha.
Okay. Ha-ha-ha. Meanwhile, Hawaii's like, here it is again.
Yeah.
God sakes, you morons.
Proof that Hawaii is actually in Kenya.
So Roger Ailes just spoke at Ohio University, and he said this thing again. The U.S. voters still don't know anything about Barack Obama.
Enough to make him president.
Yeah.
We certainly know more about via his tax returns than we do, say, the other guy.
Yeah. He also said of Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, they're not news programs. Jon Stewart got out of business without Fox News. Right.
Okay. Right.
They're not news programs? I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart makes that exact point with Don O'Reilly.
Yes. Neither is Fox and Friends. That's not a news program.
Exactly.
Thank you for playing Missing the Point entirely. If only he realized your entire network is not a news network.
Yeah.
Oh, he also realized he went too far when he called the New York Times a bunch of lying scum.
Mm. Oh, well, that's
so
too
that
far.
Was nice. That was nicely. Well played. Okay.
Well, I was talking about Judith Miller, but, that's...
Kevin in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hump Days with Hal. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
I've been an election judge down here beginning in 2000.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
All right, there's things that Democrats need to know if they want to get counted.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because of the census and, more importantly, the election in 2010, a lot of states, that went red. Your precincts may not be where they used to be.
Right.
So if you go there... and you're in the wrong precinct, the crew will also be Republican now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to help you.
Wow.
But what they'll do is they'll try to put you on a provisional ballot. Provisional ballots do not count. They are never counted,
mm-hmm.
ever. All it does, if you look at the front, it's a voter registration card.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So then when they register you to vote and they throw them away. If you vote absentee, they're only counted if it's within 1%. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Try not to do that. If you're in the military, it never counts.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Yeah, they're. I gotta say, they are trying all kinds of stuff. This one I just heard. Someone wrote, Pamela. I do not know if this is true. Her friend who lives in Wisconsin, she mentioned in the Janesville, Wisconsin paper, there's a notice stating the names of district teachers who signed the recall petition and listed their salaries. It also included a form for parents to give to their school requesting their child not be put into class with a specific radical teacher.
Oh my God!
Someone's gotta tell me if that's actually true. But I mean. It's just unbelievable.
A radical teacher.
I think that teacher might be a lesbian.
My son came home from school and said his teacher was radical.
She's rad.
Can we get her in an electrified pen instead of a classroom?
Right.
Scott in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hello, you quartet of sexy and smart. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, I have. Actually, the guy that just called from Texas made a great point. Mm-hmm. This is something that I was thinking that Hal mentioned earlier in the show about taking the government apart from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you guys think that, let's be conspiratorial here for a second and think that, don't you think that the Republicans know that in the long run, there's no way that Mitt can win? And so what they're going to do is they're going to aim down ticket and they're going to try and affect city
yep.
councils and things like that. So
I bring that up.
They know they blocked. Yeah.
Yeah, I bring that up in every sexy liberal show. We talk about that. That he's the McDonald, he's the Ronald McDonald of this organization. It has no effect on what they're actually doing. They're going for school boards, they're going for state legislators, they're going for judgeships in mass.
Mm-hmm.
And they figure those are the ones you pay the least amount of attention to. And this artificial need for balance that some people have is that they will vote for Obama and then go, but there should be some Republicans in there. And what they'll do is they'll go the low end and they'll just automatically check off some people, or a guy who will run as an independent who's actually a Republican just running as an independent because he's embarrassed by the party. But his plan, and it will more than likely be a he, will be to, affect, this limited government plan, which is really just pulling the rug out from under everything.
That's
including
we need helpers. We need helpers like Jill in Ithaca, who's going to Wisconsin to help.
Woo!
Hi, Jill.
Yes, going by train, and challenge other people to do the same. And this is the crunch time, guys. If we don't do it now, when?
Yep.
And defeat Scott Walker. The guy's running against him is named Barrett. I don't hear that much. We
got to
get close for Barrett.
Vote Barrett.
Thank you,
Wisconsin,
Thank
right?
You. Yep. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Gwen Moore of the great state of Wisconsin, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You need a hardcore badass chick. Well, bud, there's only one lady to go to.
Stephanie Miller.
Lady's a bit of a stretch.
Hey! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yeah.
We were just talking about awful things from Wisconsin. Scott Walker.
Yeah.
Now, wonderful things from Wisconsin. Representative Gwen Moore, who just voted no on the fake Violence Against Women Act that Republicans, it really was unbelievable. She said this fake Violence Against Women bill does not only rolls back current provisions to help victims of domestic violence. It completely ignores groups of women under the Republican bill. Gay and transgender women, women on tribal lands, and immigrants are left unprotected. The partisan gimmick is not what this was meant to accomplish. We must protect all women with this bill. Representative Gwen Moore joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for coming on. I've seen you on the TV talking about this, and you're obviously so impassioned. I mean, one thing that was so powerful you said on the floor was, this is not a game. It wasn't a game when I was being abused. It's not a game now. So you speak from experience.
Oh, absolutely, Stephanie. And I wish that I could say the abuse that I've suffered is something that's rare, but it's not. Certainly, Sandy Adams, the author of the fake Violence Against Women Act bill, herself was a victim. And, victimization of women is as American as apple pie. I think people accept it as as, you know, men's right to passage, men's rights as boyfriends and husbands. I even had a minister, you know, once preach in church that he did not want men calling him at 3 o'clock in the morning asking him, Reverend, where's that passage, wives obey your husband? As someone had once done, yeah. Wow. So he admonished the parishioners to, nope, please do not call me in the middle of the night asking me for that reference to be misused. And I think that, you know, that this bill is very, very frightening. You know, I'm 61 years old, Stephanie, and so I've experienced abuse from, you know, for as long as I can remember, back in childhood, age 4 and 5 years old, all the way through. As a young adult, long before, 20 years before the Violence Against Women Act was enacted on a bipartisan basis. And many of the provisions that were in this law, are in current law, because this hasn't passed, are in current law, would have helped me in a number of ways. It would have provided prosecutors with the tools. It would have educated prosecutors, educated folk. There was no such thing as hotlines and domestic violence shelters back in the 70s and 60s and 50s when I was being abused. And this bill really triggered and re-stimulated some terrible memories that I had of being abused. I told the story on the floor of having been raped. A young man came by the house and, you know, agreed to take me to the chicken shack to buy some fried chicken, and instead took a detour behind some dark buildings, raped me, choked me almost to death. And I did the right thing. I went to the hospital. They did the rape kit or the examination. I went to the police, filed a lawsuit, went to court, and Stephanie, I was on trial. They talked about how I was dressed, the fact that, you know, I had teased him, I had gotten in the car with him, how I had had a baby out of wedlock. I was on trial. Yeah. And he was, of course, found not guilty. You know, the Violence Against Women Act reversed all those kinds of things. And certainly, you know, this bill rolls it back in a number of ways. As a woman of color, and as a minority, I'm particularly offended by what it does to women in the shadows, women who are minorities.
Well, and Congresswoman, I just think that your personal story, too, is so compelling, because, you know, it also, you know, makes a lie out of, you know, when people think, oh, it doesn't happen to smart women or educated women, or, I mean, you know, you're a United States Congresswoman and it happened to you, you know, so as you say, to now, like, this should be something that's nonpartisan. How did this get to be partisan, the Violence Against Women Act? Since when?
You know, it became partisan because this bill was put into the queue as literally a part and parcel of the whole Tea Party ideology, which is very gendered, which is very anti-immigrant, anti-LGBT, and is very male gendered and oriented. As a matter of fact, this bill was altered in ways to please some of the men's groups. And I don't knock all men's groups. I think men need rights. But there are some very rabid men's groups that weighed in on this and altered it in very significant ways. For example, there's gender neutral language in the bill, Stephanie. And Sandy Adams, of course, describes this as being a good thing because it doesn't pit one victim against the other victim. I mean, what are we pretending not to know here?
Yeah, the perpetrator's a victim too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's one of my personal favorite provisions, is where they alert the abuser an immigrant, you know, a woman that you said on the floor, the Republicans are playing games with women's lives. I mean,
That is very chilling. I mean, three women away, they die. You know, their member on the other side who was debating me when I was trying to put forth my motion to recommit talked about some poor woman who was murdered in the parking lot of the police station.
Wow.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, women are more at risk of dying when they're trying to get away from their abusers, and there's never a more important time to just believe the victim, give her cover, shelter, services, take her at her word than when she's trying to get away. Because she is more at risk of dying at that point than at any other point in trying to break off an abusive relationship. And this is the point at which they give abusers power. It is chilling.
What, Representative, where are we now with this? So you obviously voted no, as you should have, on this, you know, as you say, fake violence
right.
against women bill. Now what happens?
Well, the Senate, as you know, passed the real bill 68-31. Every single woman, including all of the women in the United States Senate, Democrat and Republican, voted for, you know, we often call things bipartisan when one single person from the other party votes for it. But here's a case, 68-31, clearly a bipartisan bill that comes out of the Senate. This bill passed. My hope is that there's a conference committee where the Senate will have the stronger hand and stronger position to be able to say, we want our bill to be the bill that gets an up or down vote because we have a truly bipartisan bill. And as a matter of fact, 23 Republicans voted against the fake bill. So we have bipartisan, we can claim bipartisan opposition to the House bill. And if there were a conference committee, I would certainly fight to try to be on that conference committee and to fight for the Senate's position. And then if the Republicans in the House, and they are the majority, they clearly have the ability to vote down the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. If they choose then to vote it down, then that will be just more evidence that there is, in fact, a war on women. I know that there are very many people, including Democrats, who think that it's sort of, lacking in civility
right.
to call this,
well, this is almost
a war on
you're
women.
Right. This is almost a literal war on women at this point. I mean, you're absolutely right.
I don't know what to call it.
Representative, I've done work for, raised a charity, work for charities for, shelters for domestic violence. I think it's an issue that's just so, it's so resonant for so many people. I think that, one of the levels is economically empowering women so they don't ever feel like they have to put up with this. But I think this is like a minimum that the law should protect them. I mean, this just seems like a no-brainer, and I can't believe we're even debating this.
Well, I can't either, and I'll tell you why. Because it's not as if, there were wild-eyed, left-wing protesters, socialists, as Republicans like to call those of us who are progressive, out demanding these provisions to include Native Americans who are twice as likely as other women to be abused and beaten. I mean, these tribal lands are sanctuaries for abusers because the tribal councils don't have any authority. It's not like, there are these wild-eyed communist types that demanded that we include LGBT language in the bill or that we provide more U visas or that we try to protect young women who are particularly at risk on college campuses. These provisions were suggested by the FBI, the Department of Justice,
all the socialist groups is what you mean.
Mm-hmm. All the socialist groups.
Yes,
exactly.
Representative, thank you so much for just having the courage to talk about your personal experience with this, because I think it just so makes this issue resonate and is so much more powerful. And we always love having you on. Please come on more often.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie.
All
be
right.
well.
You too. Thank you, Representative Gwen Moore of the great state of Wisconsin. She's really awesome.
And you're absolutely right. When a member of Congress can share a story as personal as that, it resonates so much
more. Well, that's what I mean, because it doesn't just happen to just poor women or just uneducated women or it happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. And she's, God bless her, I love her. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, celebrities back on the closing moments of Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think your show is absolutely vulgar. I think it's sad. We're trying to raise kids to be respectful. There's no way you're adding to it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hal Sparks on air guitar.
Yeah.
50 minutes after the hour.
Same lick used in a Spinal Tap song, and which relates to the fact that Michael McKean, we wish him a speedy recovery. He has a broken leg, got hit by a car.
Yeah. I'm loving
Manhattan.
Him.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, trying to find his way on stage someplace, prayers. Probably.
If only you've been hit by a big bottom.
His publicist says he's doing okay. Okay. So.
Good. Yeah. Good, good, good. Chris in Chicago, lots of people telling us that it's absolutely true, this story in Wisconsin about the teachers. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, bonjour. A 35-year veteran teacher here.
Bonjour.
I read about it, and, it's not unusual for them to never publish our salaries, which is kind of dispiriting, especially when a kid comes and tells you his garbage truck driving father makes more than you. But that's another issue.
For people that have just tuned in, tell the story again.
What they're doing is they have cross-referenced which teachers, how much they make in Janesville, the top salary teachers, which means they're veterans, with who has signed the recall, Scott Walker.
Oh, wow.
And now they have a form that you can ask to have a non-radical teacher child in September. I mean, my blood is so hot on this. I wrote every teacher I know, every friend of a teacher I know. I can't even believe, it's Orwellian. I can't even begin to say how.
Wow. Chris, I hope that this even, mobilizes people more to get out and vote in the recall against Walker.
I'm calling for them next week, or this coming week, because and I live in Illinois. I mean, come on. This is, Wisconsin had one of the greatest educational for the longest time. They've decimated it, truly decimated it.
Yep.
Shouldn't federal law trump state in some of those issues?
Yeah.
I mean,
in Milwaukee confronted one of these flyer guys. Hi, Keith.
Hey, guys. Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hi, Hal. Anyhow, it turns out I know the guy because I was on the panel once with him with David Sirota. And so when I saw this, I was livid. So I called him up to just let him know, hey, man, this is just way out of line. And it's funny because the guy, his name is Chris Feisman. He resembles Steve Buscemi, if you can picture that. And I'm not talking to Nucky Thompson, Steve Buscemi, either. and he was telling me, and so I turned from being someone to chew him out to be his helpful listener, because he starts telling me about how people are calling up and they're ripping into him. They're telling him that, F you, and I'm not talking Florida and University. But the thing is, he said, he's getting accused for this. He says, I didn't do anything. And then he goes on to explain that he helped the guy who put the thing together get the open records request. Now, this is something in Wisconsin where you can go after information on people that's in the government. And, in fact, his group has used it on me. And so so I said, well, who's the guy? Get this. This guy is revealing teacher salaries.
Yeah.
He is not revealing his identity.
Of course. All right. By the way, Ann Romney, I love when she talks about the economy.
I love the fact that women are talking about deficit spending and the economy.
Thurston, I think it's
marvelous.
So precious.
They're skating the statistics and the polling and asking people how important the economy is for you and that kind of thing, and like what you think about the economy. And in a totally separate question, they're asking you the importance of reproductive rights or whatever, and they're comparing that and saying more women care about the economy than their own reproductive rights. They're twisting the statistics to reflect that. And that's what she's talking about. The right wing to fight off this war on women meme is saying more. We're for women because we're for solving the deficit.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of the
Republicans
national.
All Republicans are better on, of course, the economy. However, Newt Gingrich's private ventures are all going bankrupt.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
And P.S., none of these guys ever, like... Yeah.
As is his campaign fund, bankruptcy proceeding underway in Atlanta will determine whether the one company still owned by Calista Gingrich will lose an expected payout that now constitutes the bulk of the Gingrich's net worth.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Turns out running for president wasn't all that lucrative for
I
him.
Guess that didn't work out so well.
I screwed up.
Yeah,
all
big
right.
time.
2 weeks after President Obama announced he supports gay marriage, a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that we've been talking about shows his announcement looks to be a wash.
Yep.
A combined 17% say it makes them more likely to vote for him. 20% say it makes them more likely to vote for Romney. 62% say the president's support for gay marriage doesn't make a difference in their vote, which I guess is the best progress, including 75% of independents, 76% of moderates, 81% of African Americans, 65% of residents in the Midwest. In addition, as we said earlier, a majority, 54%, say they would support a law in their state making same-sex marriage legal, 40% opposed. So that, I don't know, that Pastor Worley, he may have a hard time with his electric lesbian zoo.
I figured a way out, a way to get rid of all the lesbians and queers. Build a great, big, large fist.
From in my heart, I am glorious.
Put all the lesbians in there.
There's a lot of work to be done.
Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals.
Presenting multiplication.
You know why they can't reproduce?
We'll still have to feed everyone.
Fly over and drop some food.
We got a lot. You electric lesbian zoo, and make the fences higher.
50 or 100 mile long.
We gonna trap all you electric fences too.
Yes.
It's all here in our flyer.
Great big large fence.
Home, home,
and have that fence electrified till they can't get out.
Home, home, home.
And also, I'll make sure they ain't got no turkey basters so they don't reproduce.
Because that's the only way lesbians reproduce.
It's the big
turkey basters.
Thank you, Mike and Moving Boxes, formerly Mike and Raleigh. Alec Baldwin on Twitter said, you want to go back to Bush, Cheney, Paulson, Rumsfeld, unfunded wars, death of U.S. soldiers and innocent civilians for oil? You want to go back to lying thieves in the White House who make war under false pretenses in order to make money for their friends? The election is around the corner. You want another corporate puppet who will squander more U.S. natural resources, revenue, and perhaps lives just to protect the breed of wealth that wants America to finally accept a European model of plutocracy? Obama, 2012.
And if you don't, you're a thoughtless little pig.
Yeah, you are. You're thoughtless pigs if you vote Republican.
All right.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Responding to a suggestion.
Can they not stay on message for 10?
Shiny keys.
Oh, yeah.
Wee. Responding to a suggestion from a fellow Twitter that he run for office, he said he would run if I could win, but too many reactionary haters in the right wing for that to be possible. And you know what will prove that? This will be all over Fox tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What the Fox?
Who does he think he is having an opinion and saying it in public?
Angry liberal.
I think he just shut up and sing or act or whatever he does.
Right.
Oh, and I'm guessing that...
Ask Chuck Norris. Should he shut up and act?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, shut up, bro. Kick him in the face. Yeah, you know what? Bruce Willis on Fox tonight will be one of those stupid entertainers that should keep their mouth shut now.
That's right.
Because he said of Mitt Romney, he's such a disappointment and an embarrassment. They asked, do you think Romney will win? No. Nah, I don't really care. Back in the 90s, he was a Republican.
He is.
Back,
he still is. He's still an outspoken Republican.
Yeah.
But he's just kind of, he voiced something you're not supposed to voice, which is, Mitt meant him. Is it all it's credit? I'm sorry. That's like a hypnosis word.
Wow. He called Romney the Dash Riprock of the Republican Party. That was the conceited movie star who attempted to court Ellie Mae Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, wow.
He makes more obscure references than I do.
That is a little
Dash
obscure.
Dash Riprock. Wow. That's kind of amazing.
Oh.
I thought it was
I'd go with Flintstones.
I'd go with Stoney Curtis.
Thank you, Hal Sparks. HalSparks.com. Check it out.
At Hal Sparks and, of course, the Hal Sparks fan page on Facebook.
All right.
See you
tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.